The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Travelers of Difficult Paths and in this episode just like the previous episodes we'll be discussing the sacrifices carried out by the Muslims of the past, righteous, pious Muslims of the past, which includes the era of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the Tabi'een, Atba'ut Tabi'een, the first three generations, Salafus Salihin, the Awliya'i Kamilin. But before that, let us hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif upon the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أسمع صلاة أهل محبتي وأعرفهم. I hear the recitation of Salat, which is performed by, which is recited by my devotees, those who love me. And not only that, I recognize those individuals as well. SubhanAllah, what a great honor. The Prophet عليه السلام hears the Salat, the salutations recited by his devotees, and he recognizes them as well. Inshallah, try and recite Salawat ala Nabi in abundance. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the early period of Islam, when the difficulties reached an extent that Muslims were being persecuted, Muslims faced great hardships, and the situation was such that the mu'minun, the muslimun, would openly not do izhar, would not reveal the Islam because of that fear that they'll be persecuted even more. Now this incident that I'm about to relate is from that period, that early period of Islam, where there were only a few sahaba, and the Prophet alayhi salam would invite people to Islam, and this preaching was done, but people did not openly reveal the Islam, and they concealed it out of fear that they'll be persecuted even further. In this period, an account occurred which brought about a great change for the Muslims. Islam was empowered. Islam gained, subhanallah, dominance because of this incident. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala, states that one day, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, who hadn't accepted Islam at the time, was walking with a sword around his neck. And it seemed as though he was out to harm someone. He was out to neutralize someone. He was out to take the life of someone. This could be sensed from his manner, the expression on his face, and just the way he was with the sword around his neck. And on the way, he met a person from the Banu Zahra tribe. And that person asked, "Oh Umar, where are you going? Where do you intend to go?" Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, "Daily I hear that people have accepted Islam. So and so has accepted Islam. Today so and so has accepted Islam. And I hear this all the time. Today my intention is to go and finish these people so that I don't have to hear this again. I don't have to hear that so and so has entered the fold of Islam." He said, "Today I am going to take the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Meaning when the Prophet alayhi salam would be martyred, then obviously Islam would suffer greatly. And the greatest preacher of Islam, the leader of Islam, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he is not there, then obviously Islam won't be able to flourish and reach people. And he felt that this was the way to finish Islam from the earth. Now that person who belonged to this tribe, Banu Zahra, he said, "Oh Umar, remember one thing. If you do this today, then you will have to face head on two tribes, Banu Hashim and Banu Zahra. You will have to have a conflict with them. Because in those days, what would happen? It says, if you were to harm a person belonging to an esteemed tribe, or any tribe, then the whole tribe would come in defense of that person, especially if he was notable. Obviously, in regard to the Prophet ﷺ, we know that he was Sadiqul Wa'di Wal Amin. He was seen as a righteous person by his tribesmen. There's famous accounts about placing the black stone into Al-Ka'bah Al-Musharrafah and how the Prophet ﷺ, using his wisdom on that day, avoided bloodshed. And his foresight led to all of that taking place in a peaceful way. So the Prophet ﷺ was well respected amongst his tribe. So this person is saying to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and if you do this, then know that you will have to face two tribes. You will have to go to war with two tribes. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, and he heard that the person is encouraging him to avoid any bloodshed, is advising him to not do what he intends to do, what he has set out to do, and that is to take the life of the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidina Umar felt that this person has also accepted Islam. So he turned to him, and he said, the way you're telling me not to pursue my intention, to fulfill it, I believe you've accepted Islam as well. You become a Muslim as well. And he asked him directly, he said, have you accepted Islam? That person said, oh Umar, before asking me, look at what is happening in your own family. Take account of your own family. And what he meant was, find out about your own sister. You don't even know about her. She's a Muslim as well. She's accepted Islam. She's not revealing it. And that's why you're not aware. Your own sister, oh Umar, has accepted Islam. Meaning that the Islam that you want to eradicate from earth, the Islam that you want to finish, and because of this Islam, you are fully intending to go and harm Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That same Islam has entered your sister's home. She's a Muslim as well. Find out about her. You're asking me? Allah. And he said, your brother-in-law, your sister's husband, he's also a Muslim. Find out about him. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, how could he ask that person? How could he continue, you know, questioning him? He had to go and find out the state of his own sister's home. So he stated that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he changed his intention. First he was going towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he was going towards his own sister's home to find out the reality. So he goes towards his sister's home. And remember, this is the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made a dua. Oh Allah, aid Islam through Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. And it was the time for the acceptance of that dua. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu goes to the house of his sister, his brother-in-law's house. And when he reached there, Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu anhu, one of the early Muslims, who was a slave and who was harmed a lot in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was teaching the Quran. And of course, a voice could be heard from inside the home. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu reached there, he knocked on the door. He was asked, who is it? He replied, Umar. Sayyidina Khabbab realized the matter. So what did he do? He went towards the internal part of the home, in another room or somewhere else inside the home, so that Sayyidina Umar can come and speak to his sister, speak to her husband, meaning his own brother-in-law. So he realized the situation. He went. As soon as Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came inside, he asked, what are you two doing? Tell me, what are you two doing? They said, we were just sitting amongst each other. We were just speaking, conversing with one another. And Sayyidina Umar said, no, I heard another voice as well. And that voice did not belong to you two. I know your voices. I recognize them. This was a third person. And tell me, have you left your previous religion? Direct question by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. The brother-in-law of Sayyidina Umar said, do you think that only you're upon the truth, you have this exclusivity to the truth, and nobody should turn away from your religion and go towards the truth because you are upon it? Is that what you believe? Meaning, should we remain upon falsehood even after the truth had become manifest towards? Shall we remain upon falsehood even after truth has become manifest to us? When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard these words from his brother-in-law, he began to beat him up mercilessly, in whatever way he could, violently. When his sister saw this, that Sayyidina Umar is going all out, he has no mercy right now. She comes in the way to save her husband, to protect him. And when she does come in the way, Sayyidina Umar even harms her as well. he strikes her as well. Remember, he's not a Muslim at this time, of course. And the sister now says the same thing. She says, "Oh, Umar, now that we have seen the truth, do you expect us to remain on the old way of falsehood and not to accept Islam?" And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu continued to beat them. After this, he said, "What were you reading? Show me what you were reading as well. Which truth are you referring to?" The sister of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took out the parchments, the scriptures, the papers, or whatever was used in those days to record the verses of the Quran. Some of them she had in her possession. Remember, at that time, the Quran wasn't compiled in one book form. The Mushaf Sharif, the Quran Pak we have today, it was scattered. And we know later on, during the Khilafah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, this began the compilation of the Quran, and it was completed in the era of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. And hence why he's known as Jami'ul Quran. In that time, it wasn't in a book form. She had some parchments. So she took them out, and she said, "Oh, Umar, these parchments, which contain verses of the Quran, they're not any ordinary papers or scriptures. To even touch these, you have to be in a state of purification." Meaning she was referring to her brothers in pure state at that time. He wasn't a Muslim. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu performed ghusl. After that, he picked up those papers upon which there were verses of the Quran. And in some narrations, it says that the sister began to recite those verses to him. And he was listening. He was listening to Surah Taha, recitation of Surah Taha. And the heart of Sayyidina Umar transformed for the better. The recitation of Surah Taha, those verses of the Quran, the divine words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, penetrated the depths of his heart and changed his life forever. Subhanallah. And then he said, "Where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I need to meet him. Take me to him." When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was taken to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi salam at that time was present at Dar Arqam. And when Sayyidina Umar reached there, the door was closed. And who was there? The uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidina Amir Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala. So, he had accepted Islam just a few days prior. Islam had reached the depths of his heart, subhanallah. He was willing to give everything for Islam. Someone said to the Prophet ﷺ that Umar is coming and he has a sword with him. It doesn't seem like he's come with a good intention. That's when Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu spoke and said, "Whatever intention he's come with, let him come." Meaning, if he has come to be included amongst the devotees of the Prophet alayhi salam, then alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. And if he has come with the intention to harm the Prophet alayhi salam and ma'azallah to kill him, then today will be the last day that Umar lives. This is his final day, if he has come with that evil intention. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, we know, came and he accepted Islam in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now here, the viewers of Madin Channel, ponder. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's sister and brother-in-law accepted Islam. They accepted Islam, yet he hurt them, he struck them. But did they leave Islam because of the punishment that was meted to them? Meaning because of the harm that reached them? No. We find that subhanallah, due to the istiqama ala deen, this led to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also entering Islam. Subhanallah. So this was the determination, subhanallah, the willingness of the early Muslims who were ever ready to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba are matchless. They're unique. One can never attain the rank of a Sahabi, meaning anyone who comes in the Ummah after the time period of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in can never reach their rank. Be it a Ghawth, a Qutb, someone from the Abdal, high-ranking saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can never ever reach the status of a Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala. So these were very, very fortunate individuals who Allah ta'ala chose to be in the company of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He ordained this. Today we respect them. As per the hadith, أَكْرِمُوا أَصْحَابِي فَإِنَّهُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Respect my companions, for indeed they are the best from you." So when we look at the companions and their sacrifices, we realize why they were the best. And today, when we are harmed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our being harmed in the way of Allah is nothing in comparison to that. What they suffered, physically beaten, tortured, yet they never left Islam. They strengthened their iman. But today, when we compare that to our situation, Allahu Akbar, we're very weak. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the sahaba, He strengthens our iman. He grants us istiqama upon iman. And such determination is given to us that we are able to face every difficulty head on and come through that difficulty with stronger iman, stronger conviction, stronger faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His deen and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's hear another account of a sahabi radiallahu anhu. And this is in relation to a sahabi known as Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala. Now Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, those who've been to Madinah al-Munawwara, those who've had the good fortune of visiting the blessed city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in particular, the place known as Uhud, where Jabal Uhud is, the Mount of Uhud. They will know that Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu is buried there. They go to give salam to him. And also, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu is also buried there, along with another companion, Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we give salam to them as well. Now, Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair was from a wealthy background, wealthy family, very beautiful in terms of appearance, handsome. And in that time, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he was from the affluent families, meaning he was from the wealthiest of families. Now, in that time, we know that clothes were made using hands. There were no machines as such in those days. There was not any of this fast production. It was all by hand. Things were knitted by hands. And despite this, Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair would have the most thinnest of clothes, finest of clothes. Now, thin clothes, not coarse and thick, dense clothes, were considered part of adornment in those days, something to be admired. And his sandals, his shoes, his clothing, his fragrance, the way he would style his hair, all of these things were unique. And whenever he would apply fragrance, it stated that any street or road he would pass by, people would sense that this is Mus'ab bin Umair, just by the fragrance, subhanAllah. Very costly fragrance would be applied by him. Now, he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recited the kalima, became a Muslim, and he didn't express his iman yet. So what happened? His mother was unaware. He was unaware that he was a Muslim. One day, he was offering salah, somebody saw him offering salah. They told his mother that Mus'ab's become a Muslim. I've seen him worship, meaning the way the Muslims worship. Now in the beginning stages, his mother gently, politely said to him, leave Islam, don't accept Islam. She said, I won't eat. Different things like this were said, I'm going to suffer if you don't leave Islam. But Mus'ab bin Umair did not leave Islam. He said, whatever you do, oh mother, I will not leave Islam. I will not renounce Islam. When she heard this, she stopped his expenses. She took his clothing back, that fine clothing, expensive clothing back. And then he would cover himself using animal skin. And he came to the court of the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet ﷺ saw this, Allahu Akbar, began to shed tears from his blessed eyes. And when the instruction came to migrate towards Habsha, Abyssinia, Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair was amongst those people. Look at the state. He was one of the wealthiest people. He had everything at his fingertips. He was respected. He was renowned. People rated him very highly. He had status and rank. He left all of that for Islam. The Prophet ﷺ saw his state when he became Muslim and began to cry. And now he has nothing. But these were the sacrifices that were made for Islam. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu and other companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, that he also grants us strong faith, strong belief in Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he grants us death upon this too as well. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.